This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
There is a 48-mile stretch of water that is critically important to U.S. agriculture and international trade, and that stretch of water will be celebrated on Friday for its 100-year anniversary. Don Atkinson has more.
It's been called one of the seven wonders of the modern world, a man-made waterway that forever altered the face of the earth.
We're talking, of course, about the Panama Canal. When gold was discovered in California in 1849, people all over the world wanted a chance to strike it rich. But that meant you had to first get there, and that was no easy task. Traveling by land was bad enough thanks to some inconveniently located mountains and deserts. Traveling by water was even worse because it meant going around Cape Horn, the tip of South America, a place where good weather is rare and dangerous storms are common. The first solution was a coast-to-coast train across Panama. Get off one ship, take a short train ride, and then get on another ship. It worked well enough for passengers, but not so well for cargo.
Panama is a land where beauty and danger are woven together like jungle vines.
And that's a lesson the French were soon to learn. In 1881, after building the Suez Canal 12 years earlier, French investors decided to do the same thing in Panama. They worked at it for 9 years and made some progress, but at a terrible cost. Out of money and plagued by charges of corruption, the French government called it quits. But U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt was a firm believer in the canal, and he pushed hard for the United States to pick up where the French had left off.
In order to succeed, we need leaders of inspired idealism, leaders to whom are granted great visions, who dream greatly and strive to make their dreams come true.
And Roosevelt knew exactly who that leader was, a man by the name of John Frank Stevens, an engineer with railroad experience. Stevens brought in massive steam shovels and had new track laid daily for the train cars to haul away more than 200 million cubic yards of earth and rock. Stevens also realized the most important challenge faced by the Americans was getting rid of the mosquitoes and the diseases they spread. Windows had to be screened in, standing water had to be covered, and garbage had to be hauled away. But there were still plenty of ways to die. Workers were crushed by equipment or blown up by dynamite. One of the biggest problems was mudslides. Many times, months of progress would be wiped out by a single mudslide. Work continued 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 10 years, at an estimated cost of $8.6 billion in today's dollars. The Panama Canal formally opened on August the 15th, 1914, 100 years to the day, this Friday, and it's been in continuous operation since.
That's Don Atkinson reporting. At this year's Illinois State Fair, I had the chance to catch up with Miss Illinois County Fair, Summer Robbins. I asked her how she was enjoying the fair so far.
Absolutely. You know, I've had a lot of great opportunities meeting so many people, getting to do so many crazy things. I mean, things that weren't even on my bucket list. I got to show a steer the other day. I've milked a couple cows throughout the week, met a lot of cute little girls. My motto has been, the little girls calling you princess never gets old. So it's stuck true this week.
Although her primary duties are in the summer months during fair season, the County Fair Queen's reign goes until January. I asked Robbins how she's feeling about summer coming to a close and January being less than half a year away.
Sure. You know, so far I've been trying not to think about it just because I've had an amazing summer, about 9,500 miles in about 8 weeks. So it's been quite the journey. But after the Illinois State Fair wraps up on Sunday, you know, I go back to U of I, meet all my residents as I'm a resident assistant this year at the dorm hall. And then I actually move down to DuCoin. But following the weekend at DuCoin, it's kind of back to reality for me, aside from our wonderful zone meetings that we have with the Illinois Association of Agricultural Fairs. After those meetings and after a couple fun events that I have planned with the Queen that are vying for my title, you know, like what you said, things kind of start rolling downhill slowly, but they'll pick up pace towards the end of the hill back in January when we begin seeing who will be the 2015 Miss Illinois County Fair Queen.
Robin said that with fair season coming to a close, there is one thing she's looking forward to focusing on.
You know, there's always things that have come up along the year that I never thought I would want to do, but one thing I'm actually working pretty hard on right now is getting a group, getting, you know, my two passions, which would be Veterans Affairs and Agriculture, kind of combining those two and seeing what I can do with the queens that are getting ready to compete at state. I think volunteer service, and especially in people that are our age, you know, 17 to 22, is something that's very important to start at our age to hopefully continue into our adult lives. So that's something I'm working on, is trying to combine, you know, ag and veterans, and seeing what I can do there to combine all of the queens that are vying for my title and to get them involved in our communities.
Again, that was Miss Illinois County Fair Queen, Summer Robbins. If those attending the Illinois State Fair aren't getting their fill of cows at the dairy building, there's another place they can go, the University of Illinois Milk a Cow booth. I spoke with Sarah Sheehan, a senior at the University of Illinois and with the Illini Dairy Club, about how this year's Milk a Cow booth is going.
Well, we do it as a fundraiser for our club, and we use it for scholarships and other things, but it's a great experience for people who have never milked a cow before to come in and see what it's all about, see what the farming lifestyle is about, and it's great to spread the word about agriculture to people who are coming to the state fair.
So the people who come to milk the cow, are they generally first-timers, or are they people who milk the cow every year, or had a few cows growing up? Kind of what's the population who comes out to milk a cow?
You know, we get a little bit of each. We see a lot of first-timers, but then we get those people who say they have all the buttons since we started. And then you get a couple older people who say, yep, you know, we used to milk cows when I was really little. Don't really want to do it again, but I guess I better just try it out, see if I still remember.
Do you get a lot of questions asked about the cows while they're in the booth and while you're teaching the people how to milk?
Yeah, they ask a lot of questions like, why is she skinnier than beef cows? Or, this is really where milk comes from? What do these things do? Or, you know, different questions about that, what they eat, what they do, those kind of things.
And of course, I assume you guys take the time to answer each of these questions.
Oh, of course. Any question, I'm happy to answer.
What would you say is probably one of the more ridiculous things that you've had happen while manning the booth?
I always think it's funny when I get grown-ups who scream when they see milk come out of a cow. I'm sure they know that's where it comes from, but they're just very surprised when they actually see it come out.
I'm sure that is quite a sight to see, an adult being frightened by milk coming out of a cow. Now, do you get that response from kids a lot, too?
Yeah, I do. I think a lot of them are just more amazed. Wow, that's so cool. That's really milk coming out of there?
This event attracts more people than you would initially guess, I think. I see you have a little signboard that keeps track of the amount of people who show up. Can you tell me just a rough estimate of how many people have come out to milk a cow at the state fair so far?
So far, we've had more than 4,400 people. We're hoping to beat our record of 10,000. We'll see what happens this year.
Do you think that you guys are on a pace to break the record? It's been great weather for the fair.
Yeah, we had a really busy weekend. We had a pretty busy Monday. Normally, it slows down during the week, but we've been keeping pace so far, so hopefully we'll beat our record. We've been doing this for 32 years, so come on out and try your hand at milking a cow.
Again, that was Sarah Sheehan, senior at the University of Illinois and with the Illini Dairy Club. The Illini Dairy Club isn't the only group at the state fair trying to do their part to educate people about animals. Every year, the Illinois FFA puts on a barnyard petting zoo. I spoke with Tommy Justison, state FFA vice president, about this year's barnyard zoo.
Yes, we have our barnyard right across from the grandstand. It's going wonderfully this year. We're having record attendance, and we were hoping to include more things for the year. This year, we're also starting something with technology. It's kind of a what they call a surreal being or something. You take a picture, it's kind of like a QR code where you can scan it and it'll show you where the actual animal is from, and it shows you the farm in like the form of a little video. And so we're trying to incorporate a little bit of technology into the barnyard, make sure it's up to date, coming to terms with the 21st century, and also making sure that the public is very well informed that we are stressing the importance of production agriculture, and show that we take care of our animals and make sure that they are clear of the message of agriculture.
Again, that was State FFA Vice President Tommy Justison. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.